Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. The Titans fall 19-16 in overtime yesterday to the Houston Texans. 5-9 on the season, officially eliminated from playoff contention. Will Levis, 17 of 26, 199 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, a quarterback rating of 72.4 yesterday for the Titans. We've talked about his protection or lack thereof in front of him. Sacked 7 times, hit 11 times. So that is obviously terrible by the Titans offensive line. What did you make of Levis, his performance when he did have time and opportunities to throw the ball? Obviously, an interception trying to force the ball to Hopkins that you just can't have, especially when you look at what was going on that play and Treylon Burks is kind of streaking wide open to the end zone there. So I would not describe it as a good day from Will Levis. He made some good throws early in the game. I mean, the first drive made some great plays. They drew the Texans offside. He made a deep throw down the field. There were some good moments from Levis in the game yesterday. Overall, what did you make of the performance from number 8?
Yeah, I mean, he was excellent early. That like you said, that first drive, they go 83 yards. He's got the pass to Burks, play action, you know, in cut. That's exactly the type of route you want to try to get going, get Burks going. There's another one later. And then, like you said, they get the offsides, and he kind of buys himself time with the hard back pedal, throwing off the back foot, and perfect shot to NWI, which I still think he may have trapped, but they weren't able to overturn it. So he started out great. I think he was like 8 for 9 for 99 yards or something like that. Yep. right away. And then just like everything, it completely disappeared. Yeah, he missed Treylon Burks, like you said, wide open, downfield on the play where – and he talked about it after the game. You know, about that play, and basically just said, it's on me, and he didn't, you know, he didn't see him in time, and he forced that one to Hopkins, and that was not good. But, I mean, you know, you get from that first drive, there's just so much third down, you know, third and long, Levis sacked, or third and long, Levis, no time, has to throw it away. It's just over and over and over again. It's incredible. You know, you get a 3rd and 17. Now, there was a 3rd and 17 where right before that, there was a deep shot to Hopkins, and he could have had it, and that's one that Hopkins has to get.
Yeah.
But instead, right now, the Titans are up 13-6 in the third quarter. Instead, it's 3rd and 17. So what happens? Jonathan Greenard beats both Jalen Duncan and Spears, who's trying to help Jalen Duncan stop Jonathan Greenard, and Greenard gets one of his 2.5 sacks. So it's just over and over again after the beginning. There's first down runs that get blown up. There's not just first down runs, but it's largely first down runs. Like, your best first down run, I think, was 2 yards. There was a lot of negative plays. And then there's third and long, and you're just toast. Yeah. I mean, you're just – and then you have a weird play like that lateral where he got hit, which turns into like a loss of 19. Still got a field goal out of it to make it 16-9. But it's just over and over again. You go through these possessions, and it's the same stuff. Like, you're behind the chains, or you're getting very little on first down. You know, he had a great throw to Chris Moore as they're trying to hold the lead in the fourth quarter, you know. But then – there's that crosser that we talked about earlier with Hopkins. It's a little bit behind him. Might have gotten killed if he would have caught it. You know, just everything was a little bit off. But I still think a lot of the things that are off go back to not feeling comfortable with the protection. You know, the possession after that, Skoronski, Malik Collins just runs him over, just completely mauls him, just runs through him and sacks Levis.
Yep.
So it's just – it was an awful football game to watch.
It was.
I mean, it was so bad.
It's terrible. And unfortunately, there's been way too many of those for Titans fans the last 2 years of trying to watch this team operate offensively. And I thought last year, by the end of last season, when they had Dennis Daly out there at left tackle and the injury situation they were going through, I was like, well, the good news is it's not going to get worse than this. Like, it's not going to get worse than this on the Titans' offensive line, and they're going to make some changes. Ty Downing's going to be out of here, and it'll be better as they move forward. And then they go out, and Andre Dillard's the choice they make at left tackle, and Nicholas Petitfrere gets himself suspended for gambling, and he comes back and looks terrible when he was in there. Dillard was, if possible, maybe worse than Dennis Daly was. And now, I mean, your best option, like Dillard, he doesn't even see the field anymore. Your best option is a six-round draft pick that, by most accounts, was so far away and so raw in training camp from being ready to play this year that it's kind of amazing that he's out there on the field right now. And you're seeing it. He's just totally limited in what he can do. And the blocking that they're asking him to do out there, he just can't handle it right now. And coupled with that, and we talked about this earlier, is something that's starting to become pretty concerning to me, and that is Skoronski. Like, we talked about Trevor Maddich and the comments that he made on Stillman and Company last week about how he is disappointed in the lack of progress that he's seen from Skoronski. I thought Skoronski had his worst game yesterday. And at this point in the year, you know, he went through the appendectomy and all those things, and I don't know how long that affected him, but you should be over that by far at this point. At this point in the year, to have a performance like that from a guy that you took number 11 overall to try to play guard is incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, like Chuck asked earlier on the text line about rookie Wall, but it's like you said there, he missed he had the appendectomy, missed a couple games. I mean, he hasn't even played a full college season with a bowl game yet, and he's struggling like this. So there's no excuse. And look, if you want to talk about offensive line coaching, if you believe, and the talent evaluators, the NFL all believe Skoronski was special, as for everything I heard and read leading into the draft, they're also wrong, plenty. But if you believe that he's that level of talent, there's where you could look at the offensive line coaching and say, okay, so why is this happening with this supposedly extremely talented kid who could be a dominant player, you think, as an interior offensive lineman? Why is that happening? I think that's – with some of these guys, like, it's just you just have to upgrade. Yep. Like, they're just not good enough. But, Skoronski cannot be that guy. If he is that guy, boy, does this draft have a different look to it, you know, down the road. But it is concerning. And, again, maybe he is banged up or whatever, but you're supposed to report those things. I have not seen him on the injury report in a while, unless I'm missing something.
No.
So, no, it's very concerning, no doubt.
1025-615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's going on, Robbie, Joe?
What's up?
How y'all doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you, man?
Hey, that was a disappointing game yesterday. Everything y'all said has been correct. I mean, the play McQuarrie thought he had with Schultz. I thought he had a pick, but he didn't. The call on Avery when they called pass interference was a bad call. I thought D-Hop should have caught that ball, Joe. I know you say it was a little behind him. I knew he was going to get lights out if he caught it. But that would have maybe got him on down, maybe put some more points on the board, and maybe they win that game. Levis, the throw he made to D-Hop that got turned into an interception, you had Burks wide open. And I thought when Kelly went to the Wildcat, Joe, Robbie, I thought he was just emptied his playbook out. He had nothing else to call. That was kind of giving it away by calling the Wildcat, and it was so noticed that was what they were going to run. And with Derrick Henry, every time he had the ball, instead of audibilizing out of it, they went with it. But what did the Texans do? They overloaded on defenses like they knew to play. That's why Derrick had a bad game. And, Joe, you're probably right. They need to take Derrick Henry out just rest him the rest of the season. That offensive line is about as horrible. I could find a youth league team that maybe can block for him better than those guys can. I mean, it's really ridiculous, man. Skoronski, I don't know, Joe. He's just a rookie. He's making rookie mistakes right now, but he did get overpowered by Rankins and all those guys, man. He really did. But Levis, I mean, Joe, the next couple of years, man, that division is going to be great with Levis, with Lawrence, with Richardson, with Stroud. It's going to be a tough division. The Titans don't own that division anymore. But, hey, y'all, Have a good day, Mortimer. I'm back.
That's
so
right.
You're going to be hearing from me.
That's
have
right.
A good day, Robbie.
Thanks, Mark.
Have
appreciate
a good day,
you,
buddy.
All right, Mark.
All right,
you
bye.
Too, buddy. Well, that's the thing. And to his point about the division, all three of those other teams are 8-6 right now, and you're sitting here 5-9.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't own it. They're actually in last by themselves and clinched it. They've clinched at least a tie for last place.
They have. And, well, I mean, they haven't won a division game. They've lost to Jacksonville. They've lost to Houston, and they got swept by the Colts. They've not won a single game in the division this year.
Yeah.
So,
and you're not going to get many better opportunities to beat the Texans. And Case Keenum at QB, no Will Anderson, no top two receivers, George Fant's out. And I understand the Titans had their own issues. We haven't even gotten to, like, Tyr Tard and Simmons, and Simmons being out. You could see it. I mean, they made Devin Singletary, you know, look like Nick Chubb out there. So that was certainly a product of the Titans' injuries too. But you aren't going to get many better opportunities against the Texans.
Devin Singletary like Nick Chubb and Zach Moss like Le'Veon Bell earlier this year. A lot of throwbacks out there.
By the way, did you know, like, Zach Moss barely got any carries, and they just had, like, Sermon and these guys coming in and just running all over the Steelers.
They were?
I mean, they're, like, Jonathan Taylor's their fourth best back.
He might be. They gave him all that money.
But they're in first place.
They are. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's get into the Tyr Tart situation coming up next, because that was quite the development heading into the weekend, and I think that may have had a significant impact on the game yesterday as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Preds Pick the Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Joe, I guess that's the good news around here. Preds have won 7 of 8, 13-16. They look pretty good.
They do. They are it's timely. It's a timely surge from them.
It is. There's no question.
Some professional sports, some life in this town.
There is. No question about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Before we get to Tyr Tart, real quickly, what do you think of this text? The offense generated 3 points after the opening drive. That should tell you what you have in a quarterback. Don't insult Trevor Lawrence by comparing him to Levis. Levis isn't close to any of the other quarterbacks in this division. This is from an unnamed texter.
Well, hey, when somebody is this bad, a team is this bad, or an offense is this bad, you can, if you want to blame the quarterback, you can.
Sure.
I can't sit here and say he was great when they scored 3 points after the opening drive. So you can blame the quarterback if you want to blame the OC. You want to blame the O-line coach. You know, you can – you can pick and choose whoever you want. I personally am going to blame the offensive line first, and probably second and half a third, and go from there, because it's just a terrible group. It's a sub-professional, sub-NFL offensive line, which also means I'm blaming Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon too, because last offseason they knew they had to try to fix the offensive line. Like you said, Robbie, all can't – well – and the offensive line, it will be better this year. Andre Dillard, I mean, he's definitely not Dennis Daly, right? I mean, that defensive front, they're just getting over. I mean, they're just going to be amazing this year. So, I'll just raise my hand. A lot of garbage came out of my mouth and my fingertips on the keyboard that was wrong. But I'm going to start there. I personally think that Will Levis is good. And I think that he's got a chance to be a very good quarterback. And I would seriously consider letting him start showing that again next camp after he's behind a totally new offensive line.
So on Friday, Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com comes out with a piece detailing Tyr Tart and the Titans moving on from him. Him and the Titans reaching, I guess, a breaking point over the contract situation, and Tyr Tart released from the team. And Tyr Tart had this tweet in the aftermath of, I appreciate the Titans granting my request to be released, all those things. It's been a really weird situation with him this year. And obviously he wants another contract. He wants to be paid what he thinks is fair market value for him. But there's been the tweet stuff that's gone back and forth with him all year in retrospect, and we kind of talked about it at the time too, like the Jeffrey Simmons contract or comments of, we need to find out who wants to be here and who wants to be a member of the Tennessee Titans. Like, was that directed at Tyrae Tart? Was that directed at somebody else? Was that just comments in general? But now Tart out, and like you said, Devin Singletary yesterday goes nuts. 26 carries, 121 yards, 4.7 a carry for the Texans yesterday, and no Tyrae Tart helping out in the game, obviously. What did you make of the decision by the Titans to move on from Tyrae Tart, the timing of it, and this entire situation that's been really weird with him all season long?
Yeah, and credit to Kaharsky for breaking the story that they were moving on at paulkaharsky.com. And this is very shortly after Vrabel told reporters, I wasn't there Friday. I can't remember the last Friday I was at, but Vrabel said, yeah, don't read into that. Yeah, there's not, basically, there's nothing to see here on Tyrae Tart. He's asked about, you know, personal reasons not practicing. Personal reasons. You see that from time to time. What it usually means is, you know, someone has something at home, some kind of a family thing. Someone loses a relative or has an issue, whatever. I mean, usually personal reasons, that's what it means. In this case, I think personal reasons meant that basically their relationship was untenable.
Yeah.
And so they moved on from Tyrae Tart. So Vrabel has sort of purged the locker room of a couple guys who I think for very different reasons, you know, were I guess, issues to some extent. One of them is Monty Rice, who can't play, who isn't good, who is a terrible pick. And he was, I guess malcontent, probably a fair, you know, way to put it. You know, obviously he got passed by Jack Gibbons, you know, which is
– who's also not good.
Yeah, which doesn't speak well, you know, of you taking advantage of your opportunity if you're Monty Rice. So – that happened. He can't play. Tyrae Tart can play. Tyrae Tart is good. When Tyrae Tart is right, he's been a heck of a find for the Titans, and he has definitely made a difference. You've seen the difference in terms of this run defense, him in the game or out of the game. So that's a totally different thing. But you go back weeks, even like Terrell Williams, they had an assistant day, and he's at, like, the stuff was going on with Tart, and he tweeted. I don't know. I don't even remember exactly, but I think Tart was inactive. They lost a game, and he was laughing about it on Twitter or something like that, right? There's these cryptic tweets. And you could tell from Terrell
Williams. A lot of tweeting this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's, you know, if you get a little bit upset now, Jahlil Johnson rips the Titans, and they're like, well, you can come back. A
lot of tweeting.
Yeah. Rashad Weaver tweeted about getting in trouble for missing a treatment last year. And it's just guys have an outlet, so sometimes they're going to be emotional and use it. But you can tell there was an ongoing thing. And Vrabel has said some stuff at press conferences this year about Tyrae Tart's conditioning. And it's not good. You can see it. I mean, you can just see the guy. It's like, man, if that guy was in better condition, how dominant would he be? I mean, I think he played on the tender this year, the 4.3,
yep,
which is a good number for what he is as a player. If, you know, if he's going to be in shape and he's going to be like a positive force, you know, throughout the building. So I know that, you know, Kaharsky did have a – well, I can try to find it. But to paraphrase, Kaharsky had a tweet that said he heard, I think, that, you know, that some of Tart's teammates didn't respect him. I don't have it in front of me. But it was something like that. So, you know, take that for what it is. Take that for what it's worth. But it's obvious, I can say with certainty, that Tart and the coaches had a conflict. And so he's out. And look, that's a loss of a – and Tyrae Tart could have made a huge difference yesterday on the field for that team. They had – I mean, the Titans had – let's see, who'd they have out there? They had Marlon Davidson, who was a nice player at Auburn. They had they've got guys right now out there who are, you know, who you've never heard of, and they've had to roll them in because they're so shorthanded up front. You know,
Coburn. By the way, I've got the Kuharsky tweet. It says, okay, more on Tyrae Tart. I'm told he had lost the respect of teammates, and the Titans looked to deal him at the deadline and struggled to generate any interest. That's what Kuharsky said on Twitter a couple days ago.
Yeah,
Friday evening. So there you go.
So, you know, that's. obviously there's a conflict here, and so there's two sides of every conflict, which I think that's worth mentioning. But the bottom line is, it didn't work out, and it's too bad. I hope he does figure it out because he's good. Monty Rice, you know, he's just a disappointing player. I just don't think he's very good.
I can't imagine that the way this has gone down, though, has helped Tyr Tart in the contract part of this around the league.
No. I don't either. But you know what? This is also – I mean, the whole thing is also – I mean, I don't think it's great on the Vrabel side either, you know? I mean, the fact that the more that you have conflicts with players and things like that, you know, it's – and when you're losing – then everything gets brought into the discussion,
sure.
Right? I'm not saying – I mean, if it was untenable, it was untenable, okay? But there's obviously been some locker room culture issues, I guess. Again, when you're losing, all that stuff gets magnified and it gets tougher to deal with too.
John from Nashville on the text line says, I think it's another indication of how badly this organization is being run right now, the Tyr Tart situation. I mean, that's what – when things like that happen, and like you said, Joe, when you're losing, that's what people are going to think.
Well, we talked about last week, you know, when you're going to go into free agency, and so they beat the Dolphins, and it's like, hey, look at this kid Levis.
Yep.
You know, look at Spears, whatever. I mean, look at Hopkins will be back next year. Like, wouldn't you like to be part of this, right? I mean, everything – so anything like that happens, that can help you. And then – something like this could hurt you. I think Tyr Tart ultimately is going to be hurt more by this. Now, I still think he's also talented enough that someone's going to give him a go. I mean, he's too talented to not be somewhere. But obviously, they butted heads. And the thing is, like, if he was in great shape and was just always great on the field and then they butted heads, then I'd be, I guess, less sympathetic toward Vrabel on this.
Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 16 matchup against the Seahawks and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. We got a whole lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We will do that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. It is a week away from Christmas. This is a great Christmas song that I enjoy thoroughly. Way to go, Nick.
It doesn't get old. This one is evergreen to me.
I heard the Mariah Carey one over the weekend. I made it the whole Christmas season at this point without hearing it. And I heard it at a certain establishment over the weekend. It's like, dang it!
What would be like your unhappiest place? Like listening to that while watching. That's the sound, and you're watching Matt LaFleur call a play on the sideline.
Yeah, tough spot for me.
Dark place for you.
Watching the Titans attempt to block someone yesterday. That could also be included in that.
Yeah, a lot of this city can relate to that.
So I wish somebody around here to talk about the blocking.
I know. How about that? Here's a topic idea.
Drew on the text line says, what's frustrating to me with the play calling is that they keep calling plays that just simply aren't working. Derek needs space, like bouncing him outside with sweeps and lining him up deeper in the backfield. I just don't think Tim Kelly is the answer. It's rough to watch. It's from Drew on the text line. One thing that I
– they tried the sweeps.
They tried the sweeps. They should eliminate that from the playbook.
Yeah, that's the most absolutely dead play that they have is the toss sweep to him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that somebody can find an example somewhere in, like, the last 5 years of that play working.
A couple times.
But not very often.
Yeah.
I got another text that says, after yesterday, how do y'all feel about Vrabel's job security? Is it about the same, not near as good, or something else? How do you feel about Vrabel's job security after yesterday, Joe?
Well, I tell you what. If he's not getting fired today after wearing the cowboy hat and blowing a game to the Texans on a huge day for the Houston Oilers at Nissan Stadium, then he's probably all right.
He's probably fine.
Now, didn't someone say earlier like, they're going to get fired today? Vrabel and Carthon, just fire them both? Amy's going to do the in-season thing year after year?
We've seen some things happen after losses to the Houston Texans before with this organization. I don't anticipate that happening today. But, again, like we've talked about many times on the show, I will never take anything completely off the table after what happened last year with John Robinson getting fired at 7-5.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think Mike Vrabel will be the coach next year. I think the only way that's not the case is a trade, the oft-discussed trade with the Patriots, which I don't see that materializing either. So, but you said it earlier, Robbie, and I agree. I mean, these guys, like, they have to try to fix it this offseason. Like, if somehow they have an atrocious offensive line, which would be for a – well, I guess it'd kind of be for a fourth straight year in a Vrabel, but kind of third for sure, and then the second two for two for Carthon, then I think anything could be on the table then. I mean, I think that Vrabel on a warm seat at least in 2024 is fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's – if you don't get this fixed – with the offensive line and your quarterback's running around for his life next year and he's getting hurt, I mean, that it's a fireable offense. Like, it is on you as Vrabel and Carthon this offseason to get this offensive line back to a place where you can run plays. That's the thing. Like, everybody's calling about Tim Kelly, and I get it. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't things that Tim Kelly can do better this year to help offset some of what we've seen. So I understand it. And when the offensive line is – when the offense as a whole is this bad, and with the exception of a week here or there, you're struggling to get to 20 points, I get it with the offensive coordinator. Having said that, I look at them trying to block the Houston Texans yesterday and allowing their quarterback to be hit 11 times, sacked 7 times, allowing a running back that we still all believe is very good – to not ever get going yesterday. 16 carries for 9 yards. I think at one point, Joe, he had 9 carries for 0 yards.
Yep.
Yesterday.
He did.
I mean, I don't – can you absolve Tim Kelly of blame of that completely? No. Of course you can't. But I look at that and I say, I don't know how your first takeaway on that is Tim Kelly when you're that bad trying to block like they were yesterday. You just – you have no chance if you're that bad trying to block.
Like, there was a loss of 7. I think this play was a loss of 7. Someone brought it up here. It's Skoronski and Duncan on a double team, one guy. You know? And, you know, he splits them, splits the double team, loss of 7. I mean, like, you've got two offensive linemen devoted to one guy, and he's the one who blows both of them up and makes the play, and you lose 7 yards. That's not the play caller. It's just – now, I absolutely agree with anybody who says at some point you can't keep going to Derrick Henry on first down, do more. I thought that – frankly, I thought Tyjae Spears was underused yesterday.
I did too.
And I think the way things were going, a little more of a look of his – obviously, he's a quicker starter. He gets into cuts quicker. I mean, I think that's totally fair. Usage and play calling on first down, fair criticism for sure. But also – they did throw a fair amount, and it was awful to watch, too, after the first drive.
All right, I've got a mini Rob rant that I need to get to right now.
Let's do it.
And I'm not trying to pick on specifically this one texter here, because it is we've gotten this a lot over the last couple of weeks, and I've reached my fill of it, and we're gonna end it right now. Got a texter that says, Coach Vrabel's body language and facial expressions on the sideline tells friends in the coaching industry that he's fed up and ready to move on. Can we please stop with the body language, Vrabel sideline stuff? Did we not see Vrabel on the sideline yesterday after Will Levis ran for like 9 yards? Run out like basically on the field and do this Archer celebration because they got a first down? Like, does that not count as Vrabel's sideline demeanor?
Yeah.
We gotta chill with the Vrabel body language stuff. The body language has been fine.
He hates losing.
He hates losing. And they suck. They're not a good football team. So, like, what is – Gorski threw this out a couple weeks ago. Like, what do you want his facial expression to
Woo-hoo!
Be?
Woo-hoo! All right, let's go.
Way to go, guys. I know you just gave up the 7th sack of the day, but nice job out there. Like, Vrabel, you know, he's over there joking around. He's got the cowboy hat on before the game. He's doing that celebration in the middle of the game, which was hilarious. I'd like to see more of it. There are a lot of problems with the Titans right now. I don't know that Vrabel's body language on the sideline is one of them. So can we please stop with all that? Again, I'm not trying to pick on this one texture because we've gotten this about 100 times in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, very well. There's a lot of interest in it. And look, he makes some fantastic GIFs and memes, no doubt. Are you sure? Let me ask you this, though. When he did that little bow and arrow, are you sure he wasn't sending a little love note to Robert Kraft? Rescue me, Robert! I'm sending a note to you!
It was good form. I don't know.
It looked like it, I think he was going northeast with it.
I don't know.
It doesn't mean much.
I just think this is something that when things start going wrong, people start searching for. They start looking for stuff like this that's not there. And there's plenty that's there with the Titans. Look, right now there's plenty that's there with Vrabel to criticize. I don't think this is one of those things. I think this is something that maybe we're looking for.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's notable because you're like, oh my gosh, look at how miserable he is, right? But I don't think it means a whole heck of a lot. Raymond says the Vrabel special: win one you should not, then turn around and lose one you should not. Yeah,
well, maybe
that's been a little bit more of the latter than the former. Lately.
Wes says, but Robbie, how many times did he touch his face? You get a face touching count from Vrabel yesterday?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just saying. There's plenty to criticize right now with the Titans. I think we're getting a little bit out of control with the facial expression stuff.
Well, this texture says maybe Vrabel shouldn't be focused on which cowboy hat would make him look like Doug Dimmadome. I don't know who that is. And instead, form a competent game plan to win back-to-back games for the first time this year. Not looking great. You know what? I bet you he did spend some time picking out that cowboy hat. And that time could have been spent grinding film.
I'm sure it could have.
Amy Adams Strunk, your move.
Could have made Jalen Duncan block a whole lot better if he had just spent that extra 5 minutes.
See, I want us all to agree that we should take it easy on Vrabel with the cowboy hat. Because if you're Vrabel, you know that if you lose that game, you're going to be ridiculed. I mean, I immediately saw this dude who's has a Houston show. He had a cowboy hat, and I was like, Mike Vrabel! I mean, like, immediately you knew that was going to happen. We should not discourage fun.
Okay? No, I agree.
So,
more bow and arrow on the sideline.
Right. And this goes a little bit to the whole, like, oh, you're playing golf in the offseason instead of watching film! I think these guys put in the work. I mean, they stink, guys. They stink. This is a bad roster, a bad team, an atrocious offensive line.
Well, and by the way, Vrabel
doesn't remove responsibility from the coaching, but they're bad.
Well, by the way, Vrabel's got plenty of culpability for that, right?
Like, yeah,
he's
sure.
He's got plenty of culpability for it, and if it doesn't turn around quickly, he is going to lose his job. Yeah. Like, if this is this bad again next year, it's just going to get louder.
Like,
for Vrabel.
There's no reason for people, and this is what I think drives people. I think people go a little bit overboard with the Vrabel, you know, like Vrabel can't coach stuff. But, you know, there's also no reason for people around the NFL to keep talking about Vrabel like he's this God's gift to coaching. Right.
Right?
I mean, it's exactly what he has said it is. You are what your record is, and lately that means he's not a good coach.
Exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. Billy from Bellevue on the text line pointing out that he can't wait for Joe to read more Stillman texts in the next segment. So
I will not unmute him. There will be no unmuting.
We're just letting it fly.
Yeah. Sure, it was good, though.
615-737-1025. More coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
He's kind of ugly, though.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Joe, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
All right. Pre-rant, okay, to Dylan from Bowling Green. Says, you guys don't think it's embarrassing for the franchise and fans for Vrabel to wear the cowboy hat and then lose the game? And then y'all get mad when people complain about it, laughing emoji, because you're not actually Titans fans. My response, was this. I said, I think it's embarrassing for the franchise, yes, on a day when it wears the Oilers jerseys, makes a big deal. You got the oil rig on the all that stuff. You knew you were playing the Texans, so there was some level of risk there. And you're up 13-0, and you are playing a very injury-riddled Texans team that you should beat, and you lose in those Oilers uniforms. I do think that's embarrassing. Absolutely. Vrabel, the hat is a tribute to Bum Phillips. Yeah, he was asked about it by media.
Do we not know this?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Texans, have some. I'm a Cowboy. Woo-hoo, I'm going to kick your butt. No, it's a Bum Phillips tribute. It's not the same thing. They should be separated. They need to be compartmentalized.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, does Dylan not know this? If you're a Titans fan, you don't know the history of the franchise, that's Bum Phillips? I mean, that's not – now,
yes,
were the Houston fans going to rip him and everything and put – of course they were.
They're going to do that anyway. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, if the Titans would have won, maybe less. Right? So, you know, you I guess you assume a certain level of risk if you do that, but I
– we got J.J. Watt after the game tweeting about how the jerseys are now the Texans.
Yeah.
Everybody's all obsessed with the jerseys.
I know. And, you know, that's another whole thing to do a side thing here. I mean, Houston fans need to – this is owned by the Adams family, so, like, I'm sorry. I understand what happened with the Cleveland Browns and everything like that. That's usually – now it happens at Titan. This franchise could have kept it. The Cardinals have been in all these different cities and the Rams and the Raiders. And, you know, you can keep the branding, and there's the same thing. You keep it, and the Titans change, but they still own it. I also – find it a little weird when, like, I guess it's just fan back and forth. Like, Titans fans are so, like, they revel in it at the expense of Houston a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like the whole thing is kind of dumb.
I agree.
And the uniforms are still sweet. I'm sorry. So I'm glad if anybody was to wear these uniforms, I'm for it.
Titans at least look good when they were losing yesterday.
Get some help.
They did. But today, my whole thing is I want this to be a positive rant about the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
So I'm going to play yesterday in the locker room, and I think I'm okay, but shortly after approaching Azeez Alshire and hearing him talk a little bit, I started to move away and hold my hand way out like this, because I'm like, the dude is sick as a dog right now. But here's part of the conversation with Azeez Alshire.
What'd you fight through to play today?
Yesterday, like by 6 o'clock, I just started feeling chills, stuff like that. And then last night, they checked me, I ended up having the flu. So I just felt every bone in my body hurting. I just didn't feel good.
Same stuff that Daniel and Nick is the same thing for all you guys?
Crappy enough, I just ended up getting it yesterday as opposed to earlier in the week. So it just was still hitting pretty hard. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm 200 pounds right now.
Down from?
228.
Did you just get up this morning and decide, screw it, I'm going?
Man, it was no question. Obviously, per the league rules, you got to put questionable or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I told everybody I was going. So I wasn't the only one fighting. Everybody was fighting something. And the guys on their team, they fighting something too. So in the day, you just got to be willing to show up. And I just wanted to be out there with the guys and tried to help as much as I can.
That was Azeez Alshire confirming that he was diagnosed with flu Saturday. They had to put questionable. I think he Brunskill and Westbrook-Ikhine were all questionable, but those guys had the flu earlier. The flu's been going around the team. It's that kind of year. So he comes out and he tells Vrabel, there's no doubt I'm playing in this game. He has a game-high 13 tackles, 2 for loss, 1 quarterback hit. And, you know, guys like that, say whatever you want about Azeez Alshire. I think he's been pretty good this year, you know. I don't think he's as good as David Long Jr. when he was at his best, but I got to give major props to that guy. And props to a guy like Danico Autry, who has 2 sacks yesterday and has 11, a career high this year. And Amani Hooker and Roger McCreary and just a lot of guys who were continuing to bust their butts. And Derrick Henry. A guy who, and we're going to talk about him in the next hour too, with some comments he had after the game, but, you know, for going out there and just taking the punishment that he does and coming back every week. I just think through all this team stinks. The offensive line stinks. Anybody could be fired. Anybody could be cut. Tier Tart is out of here. And Monty Rice is out of here. and all these things. This is such a violent, brutal game, and I understand they make a lot of money. I get it. But I have a lot of respect for guys like Aziz Alshire, who goes out there and through this terrible season is like, yeah, I got my bones are chilled and I'm sick as a dog, and of course I'm going to play tomorrow. And then he plays like he did. So there's my little dose of positivity for you today for the Tennessee Titans.
Wow, that was
Yay.
Good. Look at you.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, you know.
It's hard to do after a game like yesterday.
Sure, exactly. There are still guys who are fighting for this team. Now, again, they were still alive, and now it's a different challenge for Mike Vrabel the rest of the year. And it's important, you know, it's important for him.
Yeah.
I mean, if they come out and just get and look like a team that quit at some point, that doesn't help him.
No.
You know? Just, I mean, the stakes continue to be high, but it's harder. It's got to be harder when everybody knows that now you're mathematically out of it and all you're doing is trying to play spoiler. So it's going to be interesting from here, but I was impressed with that.
You bring up Roger McCreary. I still don't really know how Dalton Schultz took that ball away from him yesterday. It looked like it was going to be just a clear interception from McCreary. And credit to Schultz for ripping that one away, but I still don't know how he did it.
I don't either. That was – and Levis tried to throw a pick in overtime, too.
They did.
Chris Moore just – but it, like at least I understand that one. He went over the top, made a great play. Chris Moore continued to make like one or two plays in a game. You're like, wow, the guy looks like he can play.
Yeah.
Maybe you should throw to him. But again,
throw him a little bit more.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of throwing that you'd like to do if you could stand in a pocket and not get crumpled.
Yeah. I mean, you had the McCreary play that was almost a pick, didn't end up being a pick. Elijah Molden with one of the easier pick sixes that you'll see in any level of football. Case Keenum hit him in stride. It was beautiful. Hit Molden right in stride. All he had to do was run in the end.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought the Titans were off to the races. Like, man, they're going to win by like 25 points in this one. And that was all she wrote, pretty much.
Yes. And that was the last highlight of the day for the Titans. Dennis says, why is no one talking about guys like Aziz when it comes to culture and locker room? Yeah, he's an absolute credit to it. There's no doubt. Look, I think Alshire. So if we want to talk about Rand Carthon's ads, I think Alshire and Brunskill, which guys he knew very well, are good additions to the culture.
To the culture.
Yes. I mean, that, you know, they are. And he's been a good player this year. That's not a bad pickup at all. And you're number three, and that's an example of you're number three with the Niners, and the two starters are great, and you're still good. But he played a lot with them. You can still see he could play with them.
He's been fine. Yeah.
Whereas Dillard is a backup, because the other guy's way better, but also because he can't play.
Right.
And that's the huge mistake. But no, Aziz is absolutely a credit to this team and counts to me as a good ad.
Trevor on the text line says, we will forever remember the Aziz Alshire flu game with a crying laughing emoji face. Put it down in Titans history, the Aziz Alshire flu game. He did have 13 tackles yesterday, by the way.
He did.
To lead all
Titans. He played his guts out, you know? He did. And, Brunskill and NWI were out there fighting it out too. Maybe this week is the week that like 17 guys get the flu and can't go.
Would you, now that the season is over, would you, and we talked about the Levis part of this, but the playoffs are done. Would that being the case, I'm probably looking at Jeffrey Simmons and being like, why don't you just sit down for the rest of the year? I don't know what his response to that would be. And again, like you brought up last week, I don't know exactly what all the specifics of his contract look like with performance and all that stuff. But I don't know that there's much benefit to playing him the rest of the year. I'd probably let him stay out and get healthy.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And the thing is, that's where, you know, you're not asking any player, you're not asking any coach to not work, to not try to win every week. You know, you're not tanking. Those people aren't tanking. But if there's a little bit of let's better safe than sorry, Jeff, have a seat. Better safe than sorry, Will Levis, have a seat. That's where you're franking. Right now, and we haven't even talked about their pick today. What are they right now?
They're still in ninth.
Oh, they're only ninth?
Ooh. Yeah.
If you want to get that left tackle, got to move up a little bit.
Well, you got the Bears, the Jets, the Giants, the Chargers, and the Titans all at 5-9.
And the Bears absolutely had the Browns want.
They did.
Browns beat yesterday, and they blew it.
They totally did. And then you have the mighty Atlanta Falcons at 6-8. who blew one to the Panthers yesterday, which was amazing. They're at number 10.
I hope Arthur Smith keeps his job. I think he's a good coach, and he's a good guy. And also because if he gets fired, I'm already just not able to handle the, bring him back as OC. It's already started. It just, it's not going to happen.
He's a good OC.
He was a good OC. He was great. Now, he's a very good OC. He was amazing also with an offensive line that could block and A.J. Brown and blah, blah, blah.
Prime Derrick Henry.
And look at him now with the Falcons. He's not a genius anymore.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and that disaster at Nissan Stadium yesterday. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.